You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. And we have begun. That little prophetic.
We've only just begun.
That little prophetic announcement in the opener now is coming true. Good morning. Good morning. This is the front line on Monday, the 9th of March.
Already?
Man, already burning through the year, Ed.
My gosh.
What are we going to do?
3 months into the year already.
I know.
As I told you, that's my Charmin theory. Life's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes.
Right. You know, if you listen closely when Ed shares the wisdom that he has, it's life-changing. And I do have, brother, one of the things that when I first met you, this is maybe now almost 20 years ago, when
we first ran
into each other, and Ed's sense of humor and the wisdom that's wrapped around it is unique, and it's also much appreciated. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Life. Life can be so miserable if you let it. Can't let it.
No, you have. Sometimes
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. It has to be a conscious effort.
Have fun with life.
To say, have fun, which we're going to do today.
How can you not if you got Jesus?
Yeah.
Amen.
You don't have any choice.
Yep.
But, you know, it takes a while for us to actually believe what he says about the life in him.
Absolutely.
You know, we can relax a little bit. We're not in charge.
Yeah.
You know, I learned that last week.
Yep.
I've been walking with him 50 years. I learned it last week.
Preached yesterday on a woman at the well, and I think I got a great big drink of that living water while I was preaching.
Amen. Praise God.
It was just fantastic.
Wow. Yes. Amen. And then my other co-host, a much younger.
Can I interject one other thing? On a serious side, it's been on my heart really heavy, and I talked about it in church yesterday. Right now, our country is in a place where we're in a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And many people in this country disagree with it. Many do agree with it. We're divided down the middle. We've got to stop that. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
Amen.
The perspective we need to take right now is our young men and women have volunteered and signed a check for an amount up to and including their life. To be over there protecting this country and representing us, we need to keep our armed forces in prayer.
Absolutely.
Amen, yes.
Being a retired military man myself, I know how much that means when I know the people behind me are praying.
Yeah.
Pray earnestly for our troops, please.
Amen,
yes. And it has nothing to do with whether you agree or disagree.
Absolutely
with where our military actions are. I found out long time ago that God didn't want get my permission before he led nations to do things.
Amen.
And so I have to simply pray for our soldiers right there.
Yep.
Some aren't there, but they're part of the effort. So we pray for the whole military and those who lead them. Anne Limhoko,
we've
heard from you. People said, who was that woman? Well, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I also want to say, first of all, good morning to all our listeners. Thank you for coming back week after week. And I also want to say that we need to pray for the underground church in Iran.
Yes.
Amen.
And
definitely.
It's the most, it's the fastest growing church, persecuted church in America.
Amen.
I mean, in the world. And we need to keep our brothers and sisters in prayer as
we
well.
Amen. We do.
So.
And that's a big amen. We must do that. And so today, and of course, this show's focus is on ministry, and we have individuals, we have groups come in here, ministries all over, international, national, state, local, whatever. And I love the variety. And in particular, it's always unique and interesting to hear of when one individual comes in here as a guest sharing about from their life and ministry. And I've been intrigued to have our guest here for a good while. Sean O'Hay is our guest. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
It's good to see you.
Thank you so much.
You know, I have to tell you, you're the first person I know who can be that far away from the mic and be heard.
I know. I'm like, that's pretty far, but his voice is projecting.
I have to prompt people to get their lips about 3 inches from the front of it.
He's from Jersey.
Well, of course.
Crying loud and sparing out, really, right? Yeah, lift up your voice like a trumpet.
Now, those of you already hearing Sean speak, and if you're regular listeners to WCNO, have heard his voice Fridays on Karen Hubbard's program, Hidden Places. Mm-hmm. Sean is a recurring co-host and brings his heart and God's wisdom to bear into that program. And it was because of actually getting to kind of know you on the air that when we met recently at, forget the event, but we were able to speak. It might have been at the in December. I think it was the December. The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance has a proclamation dinner every December. And we had a chance to talk. It just seemed right to ask you to come on board with us. So I'm going to welcome you to WCNO again in this particular program, Sean. I think to start with, tell us your God story. How did Jesus come into your life?
I was a young boy, 8, 9, 10 years old, and he stood next to my bed, and he was laughing. And you know, I grew up in New Jersey, but the Lord appeared to me a few times, and you know, naturally, some people think that's occultic, but nonetheless. You can't stop the manifest presence of God because God gets to do what he wants to do, as the scripture says in Corinthians, severely as he wills.
Amen.
And
amen.
And he wills that people experience him. You know, naturally our life is based on what the Word of God says, you know, and the Christian faith is the embodiment of what doctrine is really about. So you have the Word and you have the Spirit, but when they both come together, you know, it's an explosive force.
Amen.
By the power of God.
Amen.
And, you know, God wants us to take dominion, but I didn't really understand what it was really all about, you know, when I met the Lord, but I always knew he was my Savior and, you know, he's my Lord. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I've had a lot of experiences with God, you know, over the years without understanding, hey, that was really God. You know, I'd hear the voice of the Lord about different things that were going to happen in a prophetic nature, prophetic flow, and just have to go with it. You know, the first time I met certain people over the years, I just kind of knew some things that were going to happen, but I didn't realize that was word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits, and, you know. But we're living in a great day. People are so hungry. A lot of people are so hungry. They're not churched, you know, and it's like, you know, there's people that we want to, you know, evangelize, call them in for the first time. But there's so many people that need to be reconnected with God, you know, and I believe we're in the hour right now where God is raising up leadership that knows how to sustain people supernaturally by the presence of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because the Spirit and the Word work together.
Yep.
Amen. They certainly do. And I'm delighted whenever we have someone like yourself, Sean, because I know we have people listening today. We have at every level of spiritual development, right? From people that may have just come to the Lord to people who have been walking with him for decades. There's also then prior to that, there are people that really don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. They're not born again, but there's a hunger in their heart. And particularly when you shared from your childhood that Jesus himself appeared to you. That's legitimate. That is real. And so many people, I've read stories of people that had similar experiences. There are people listening right now who are had experiences. They've had, or they may not be totally embracing the fact that God has revealed himself to them, but that's happened and they wonder about it. So what would you tell people to do from this point forward to, I don't know, clarify that? Maybe get God to, you know, affirm that that was in fact him. Where do they go from here when they've had the experience, but they really haven't invited Christ into their life at this point?
You know, relationship is always based on truth. Real relationship is based on the faithfulness of who God really is. You know, scripture tells us it's, you know, in him we live and we move, we have our being. We're called by his glorious, we're called by his glory and virtue. Virtue is the expression of that glory. We worship in truth and in spirit. But until a person gets the Word of God into their lives, they're not going to experience what the Word really promises. And Scripture says all the promises of God are yea and amen. So we have to walk it out. I always like to say it like this. Whatever you walk out by faith because you believe it, the Father will work out in your life by his grace that empowers you to walk in the very truth that you believe.
Amen. And that is
amen.
True.
Amen.
But I also hear, we come to grips with that, not before we have the experience of walking in the Spirit, but it's as we do, that truth emerges, and then we know. And that for me, looking back the early years, I was 1976 when I got saved, November 3rd. From that point forward, it took me a while for that truth to be made clear to me, but I walked. It's like you say, okay, I'm going to walk with you, Lord. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but you begin that trust walk early, and there's great wisdom in that. And you started early in meeting the Lord. At what, I guess...
Can I interrupt here?
Really? Sure.
You said that you felt the Lord's presence, and you said 8, 9, or 10 years old. So can you explain what that meant? Because people may be listening, and they're like, how did he feel his presence? What did that... Can you explain exactly what that meant and how you knew it was the Lord? Is that when you accepted the Lord after feeling his manifest presence seen?
Big question. But, when you're in the presence of God, there's a glory realm that's real.
Mm-hmm.
And once we learn how to live in that place, it can almost become very, very addictive because you find out that truth is positional truth. It's all about being in Christ. But if you say, is there a feeling? Yeah, there's a real feeling in the presence of God. It's like being in electricity. You start to get the thoughts of the mind of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the creative ability of God, to function in the spirit realm, which is a lot different than the natural realm, because in the natural realm, we go by what we think, with our head. But once we receive the Word of God and we start believing the Word of God, then we can receive literally what the Word says. And it's just one of those things where walking in the Spirit requires a lot, and it requires death. And most people don't realize that the death that's required is everything from you, because the absolute nature and power of Almighty God is real. And his presence is real.
Amen.
But we have to allow that presence to transform us into his image.
So you knew at that young age that was the presence of God. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And I woke up this morning and I heard the Lord say, take up your cross and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a theme that I think we need to talk about, because a lot of Christians think it's going to be this happy-go-lucky life when you get saved, and it's not hard, but we have to take up our cross, and there is a required dying to self, a required dying to self, and it's not easy. You know what I mean? So dying from our old self and thinking your life is going to look a certain way, because I've been like, Lord, things are hard, but I continually have to keep dying to what I thought my life would look like, things I've desired that the Lord has been like, okay, just wait on him. It's not going to be this. I mean, you guys agree with me, right? Like, this,
Yeah.
Can you talk about that scene? Because it's people need to know and be holy as he is holy, putting down the things of this world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what he keeps talking to me about.
Yeah.
Dying.
And that's out of context, that's not a great selling point for Christianity. And I say out of context because there are people listening today that, again, they haven't received Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
All they know is what they think they know about him and about Christianity. And so when you hear about dying, you say, well, maybe I'll just decide, to. But here's the thing, and hopefully you'll agree with me. You don't have to, though, but I think you will. Is what I have found anyway is that when I became aware that in Christ, that, I was saved. My sins are forgiven. But I'd begun a journey that is going to take all of my life up until the point of my death. But that I came to become aware that dying to self was important.
Absolutely.
But what
critical
what made it what made yep. it what made it not only just easy but desirous for me to have that experience was that Jesus is very willing to show you the quality and character of life he wants to give you. Now, mm-hmm. that's just living in the kingdom today, and then also the life that you will have with him for eternity. And so that when that promise is before me, and I see that my dying to self is part of gaining that promise, mm-hmm. then it became very attractive mm-hmm. spiritually to die to self, because I realized that self was in the way Amen. Of my salvation.
Amen.
Romans 8:10, the yep. body is dead because of sin. Amen. Father sees your body is dead because when Christ died, you died.
Yep.
But it says, but life reigns through righteousness by the power of Amen. The Holy Amen. Spirit, which is positional truth.
Yep. By the way, just to say, there was a caller, I don't know if they were trying to get through to us or not. There's no one out here to answer the phones right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I should probably invite people if they want to call and ask Sean a question or make a comment. Yeah. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. If you call, I will personally zip out of the studio, answer the phone, and transfer the call into the studio. So give me a minute because of my advanced age to get my body out there to do all of that.
Amen.
Anyway, go back Amen. To the subject, Dan.
Yeah. Well, back to the subject. I had shared this with you once before, but I had been saved for 2 years and was still very frustrated with trying to live the Christian life. Mm. I was in an environment that kept me from doing that, a shipyard environment,
with the
rough,
Navy.
Coarse people,
mm-hmm.
Knuckle draggers like myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really having a tough time. And when I cried out to the Lord one night, I mean really cried literally, tears running down yeah. my face, what's wrong with me? And he told me that the biggest problem I had was I knew about his son, but I didn't know his son.
Mm.
And I yeah. think that's the case with many Christians.
Yes,
they
yes.
know about Jesus. They think they're walking the walk. They read the scripture.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what he did. But do you really know him?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you have to read and find out how to follow him,
yes.
you know about Jesus. When you instinctively do what Jesus does,
mm-hmm.
you know Jesus.
Yes, Amen. Yes.
That's a critical difference. By the way, Ed, when you met Jesus, your arms got shorter. You're not a knuckle dragger anymore.
I'm not a knuckle dragger.
But to really like encounter yeah. him in his word, first yeah. of all, and to know who he is, but not only just desire to know what he can give us or to yep. ask what he can give us, but Lord, what is your character?
Yeah.
What is
yeah.
why do you love me?
Right.
Show me the love of God, like his mm-hmm. mercies. We can't even begin to understand his mercies.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's when we need to be yeah. in the word. And Lord, reveal yourself
mm. It's
to
a big
us.
Difference from intellectualizing Jesus to internalizing.
Which we see a lot. Yeah.
yeah.
What do you think, Sean?
I think that it's really the transformative power of the Spirit of God that makes us who we are when we allow him to come in and help us die,
Amen.
Die to
Amen.
Ourselves.
Absolutely.
About 15 years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. I was living in, my gosh, it's more than 15. It's like 23 years ago, living in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hmm.
I was on staff at a fairly large church at the time. And I wake up in the middle of the night, though, to get some water, and I stop cold. Mm. And I look in front of me, and it was like a movie screen had come down, and I'm looking at this big tree on a movie screen, but it was like a silhouette. It was black and white. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes to me and says, that's a big tree, isn't it? I said, yeah. He said, there's no fruit on that tree. He said, it's time to learn how to walk and let the fruit grow in your life.
Wow.
And then I started reading the book of Galatians there.
Yeah.
It talks about fruit of the Spirit, but at the end there it says, against such, you know what this fruit is?
Mm-hmm.
There is no law. There is nothing that can stop mm-hmm. what the fruit of the Spirit in your life can produce. Amen. But you have to allow the Spirit of God to produce the fruit. Yeah.
Free will.
And it's pruning and pruning, right? See?
Absolutely.
The pruning for the fruit to... We don't grow the fruit. He said the Spirit of God allows the fruit to be produced in our lives. And He may prune and prune and prune for the fruit to grow greater.
Yeah.
So
you're
beautiful.
Not going to get a good crop first time out.
Yeah.
It's just not the law of nature. You know, you're not going to. But as you prune and as you allow the maturity, the tree to mature, the fruit becomes more higher quality.
Yeah, that begs the question, Shasin, is there one story that you could share with us of God pruning you and how that felt and what the fruit eventually was out of that?
Well, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
The process never stops if you don't stop.
Yeah.
And transformation is a lifelong experience, but I can tell you that I've lost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sad, because when you learn positional truth in Christ, you know, He holds the future. I don't know what the future is going to, what exactly everything that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the old saying, I know the one who holds the future in His hands. And, you know, I went through divorce like 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was one of the toughest things I'd ever been through. And then, you know, I just really thank God for His mercy, His love, His grace, because I realize through it all, He's still working it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still walking out my salvation with fear for the Lord.
Trembling.
And trembling.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
We're maturing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a part and parcel of a faithful Christian walk.
I had, back in the late 80s, I moved to Tulsa to go to Bible college, and my whole world changed because I had moved to Tulsa, and I'm standing downtown one afternoon, and I said, Lord, I'm here. Now, what do you really want me to do? They lost all my luggage.
Oh, no.
I took a bus to Tulsa from Florida. You know, I was 25 years old. I didn't have anywhere to live. I had $300 in my pocket.
Mm.
And I left the car behind because I didn't think it would make it to Tulsa. But I had to go to Tulsa because I was at a church. The pastor prayed for me. I was slain in the spirit, laying on the floor, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I could not get up for about 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And He said, prepare yourself for the ministry I called you to. He gave me the book of Acts. It said there were certain prophets and teachers, Niger being one of them, Simeon. He said, but prepare yourself for the work of the ministry I called you to. You know, I just thought I was going to go to Tulsa, go to Bible college, and it was going to be great. Well, there's a price to pay
Absolutely.
To really serve and become.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I was downtown Tulsa, and I put my hands up there. I said, Lord, what are you going to do? I said, I don't even know where I'm going to live. And I just got off a bus. Yeah. And for a few days, I stayed at a motel. And it's this, you know, there's no such thing as a testimony without a test. And he said, I told you to come here. I told you I'd take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And this man pulls over. He said, hey, buddy, what are you doing? You're downtown Tulsa walking around. I said, well, I'm really looking for a place to live. I'm here to go to Rhema Bible College.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm just looking for a place to live. He said, well, get in. He was a taxi cab driver, a guy all the way from New York. I said, what's a guy in New York from New York doing in
Tulsa?
They're
everywhere. They're everywhere.
And he said, well, we go to Rhema Bible Church. You can come live with us.
That's how the Lord immediately.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
And so I get in the taxi cab, and he says, I just have to check with my wife to make sure it's okay that, you know, you can live with us, you know, until you get yourself settled. So she gets in the car, and she says, Sam, she says, and wonderful, wonderful people. Her name was Meg.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Sam, now who is this guy in the car? He goes, that's the guy that's going to live with us. She goes, well, what is your name? I said, well, my name is Sean. She says, what's your last name? I said, oh, hey. Oh, she says, you're the one. I said, what do you mean I'm the one? She said, we were looking at a dollar bill. We saw the name Ohay on the bottom of it, and God told us an Ohay would come to live with us. And I said, well, let me just tell you about that name. That was my great aunt. Her name was Catherine Ohay Granahan, and she was the treasurer of the United States under John F. Kennedy.
Right.
Now tell me, what are the chances?
Exactly. God, there's no chance. It's all his will. That's awesome.
But there was a faith for you at 25 years old to leave Florida, not knowing where you're going to live, and you're in a motel, and you're just living day by day, but the Lord said he would take care of you, and then you meet that. That's beautiful. A lot of us don't live with that kind of faith. You know what I mean? And I'm saying myself, but to the point where you're like, Lord, where am I going to live? What am I going to eat? You said you hardly had money. Wow.
He worked it all out.
It always does.
Because what we walk out, he works out.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that we learn then about our faith grows because we learn to trust God. You know, and that's an ongoing thing.
When we tune into God's voice by his Spirit through his word, then we have an understanding for how we're going to embrace the refinement. Because the closer you get to the fire, you know, our God is an all-consuming fire.
Amen.
Amen. The closer you get to the fire gives you an ability to have a responsibility to anchor yourself to God's plan of completion for your life. Philippians 1, he says, faithful is he who's called you, faithful is he who promised, but he'll work it all out.
Amen.
For everybody, anybody.
Everybody.
You had mentioned earlier that in your walk with the Lord, you've gone through a lot of loss. I had thought the same thing in my life, and what God showed me was I didn't go through loss. He divested me of the superfluity. The stuff I didn't need for ministry, he got rid of it for me. And it wasn't loss. It was a planned removal.
And as Paul said, he counted it, counted the loss as gain.
As gain.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
I guess it's like perspective, how you saw it.
Exactly.
Is it loss or is it the things that he's trimming
in
order because he knows that that's not what's best for us? In order to live the life where we need to completely sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Romans 6, we are instruments of righteousness unto the Lord. Yeah. We offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness.
Absolutely.
So, when you were speaking about yourself, and I was thinking of Paul, and I went to Philippians here, because prior to this verse in 3:8 in Philippians, he's accounting for his previous life and all the wonderful things he did, his accomplishments, studying under one of the greatest rabbis in the world at that time, coming from a wealthy family and all the opportunities he had. But as he makes that list, and then he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Amen.
And that's in light of knowing Jesus, everything we've done that was on our pride list is he would say refuse trash compared to knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. That
again,
was for Paul.
Knowing Jesus, not just knowing about Jesus.
Because concepts lose ground real quick when we get into situations where we need that relationship with the Lord. Because a concept isn't going to sustain you. It's not going to bless you. It's not going to guide you. It's going to lose ground real quick. But knowing Christ and having him in your heart, because what does he say? Abide in me. I love that
and
word
abide.
You know, it means to live within.
Amen.
So he says, abide in me as I in you. And he taught us a great teaching about the vine and the branches. And that's how Jesus abide. He wants to live in you. And he wants you to live in him. And which is a great, wonderful unity that Jesus speaks about that is available to us poor, broken humans.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
So we're all preachers in here. I'll tell you what, it's break time. Why don't we take a little break, about a minute and a half, 2 minutes maybe, and then we'll be back to hear more from our guest.
I know, I
didn't
know. Good coffee.
know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And we're back from that break with our guest, Sean O'Hay, and just sharing from his life and ministry. And I'm glad to have this opportunity to hear from you to get some depth and understanding who you are as a man of God and things that Jesus got you into after he got into your life. Let's just pick up on where we were before, and Ann was pursuing.
I was just telling Sean during the break, you're a man of God. You've prayed about what to give us on this. You know, show. Mm-hmm. What has the Holy Spirit been impressing upon you to release to us today? I want to hear.
Sometimes you just fall into things and things begin to happen. I'm talking about movement with momentum, because in the month of September, I was living in a different place at the time, and I had to walk about, 25 yards to the laundry room. So I was waiting for my clothes to dry, and it was just outside. It's about 10:45 at night, and it was the beginning of September, and I just kind of look up at the stars, minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I hear the word of the Lord, and he says to me, the whole cosmological system is about to change. Now, I don't really know much about cosmology, but cosmology has to do with creation and origin, time, space, matter. And I'm a little befuddled about it, because I'm saying, well, Lord, what does that really mean? And I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden a star shoots. I've never seen a shooting star in my life. It just went right across the sky. So I kind of get online, and I'm starting to read a little bit about cosmology and shooting stars. And a shooting star can be about, your prayers are getting ready to be answered. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? Things are beginning to align or realign. And I was just trying to put it together, but I started reading from the book of Acts. And because I said, Holy Spirit, what does this really mean? The whole cosmological system is getting ready to change. And science is saying that, where we are right now, we're actually in a dark hole. And we're headed in that direction, but God holds the future in His hands. But I asked him, can you show me through Scripture? Took me to Acts chapter 3, like verse 19. Repent so that times of refreshing from the Lord can come. And repentance isn't so much about being a nice person, a good person, as it is changing the way you really think according to Scripture, which is a lot different than what people think repentance is. And I asked him, I said, well, but what does this really mean to me? The cosmological system is getting ready to change. And he spoke deep within my heart, and he said, there's a compression of time coming for 2026. He said, and that this time is a time when there's going to be the difference is going to be made known between foolish virgins and wise virgins. And if you don't have oil in your lamp, what's going to happen to you? You're not going to enter the bridegroom's chamber to receive what you need. And one thing has led to another. And what I didn't realize, but I read, I listen to different things on YouTube. I found out that the Hebrew calendar actually started in September, on September 1st. Mm-hmm. So it's really, I think it's 5876, and it's a very interesting time. And different people say different things about it, but, you know, hidden within these numbers and these times and these pictures and scripture, God is still prophetically speaking to those who have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is really saying, you know. And it's very important that we recognize the season that we're in. And sometimes I'm like a broken record. I'll say the same thing over and over and over, and people say, well, how come you're going to keep saying that? And, well, are you going to get it or not? Because I'm trying to get it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so important to know the season that we're in with God. And I just I was praying, and he said, preparation of 2026 is so that believers become reconnected with God so that they can experience a little bit of heaven on earth in 2027.
Wow, that's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Huh? Wow, hallelujah. Heaven on earth. We're supposed to experience heaven
earth. That's right.
And we have it.
Book of Deuteronomy says so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of heaven on earth to go to heaven in.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's more to life than meets the eye. And, you know, they say perception is everything, but your relationship and intimacy with God is really everything.
Amen.
It is everything. It is everything. By the way, just a little, it's actually 5786 in the Jewish calendar.
86, yeah.
5786. But you were close. I do the same. I'm numbers dyslexic, so I transpose numbers all the time. Makes balancing my checkbook a little bit of a challenge.
I imagine.
But seeing, like, we all have to go to that secret place with the Lord. I mean, you talked about the virgins and not having enough oil.
Mm-hmm.
Can you I mean, I know many of our listeners maybe know that story, but can you just expound upon that concept, please?
You know, oil representing
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
But look at what oil does. It gives you viscosity.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the natural realm, mechanical parts, like in a car, an engine needs oil, viscosity, so that the parts can move freely together, working together.
Right.
As it says in Scripture, the body of Christ is fitly joined, framed together, compacted about by a work of the Spirit. What is that work? It's the viscosity to get all the parts working together.
Yeah, Ephesians four too. Yep.
We're not to be competitors. Mm-hmm. We are to be co-laborers together.
Amen. Co-laborers.
Amen. And so much of what, you know, what we've experienced in times past is like a competition in ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
But we're really co-laborers if we have real relationship in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
And each one of us in ministry has a different obligation, a different role to play. And we need to, as you say, we can't be in competition. We need to complement each other.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yep.
I always somehow come up with Hebrews 11:3 that says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which appear were made by things which do not appear. And a lot of times people think that verse really means how God created the heavens and the earth based on Genesis chapter 1. And I believe God created the heavens and the earth. But Hebrews chapter 11 is about different people in different time periods. Those people heard a word from God, they obeyed that word, and it changed their generation. Because when it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God, the word for worlds there is aeons. It really means time periods. So different people in different time periods heard a word, they obeyed that word, and their generation was changed.
Yep.
About 15 years ago, my kids were real little. They were laying in the back seat sleeping. We were on our way. Me and my wife and kids were on our way to Fort Myers to visit family there. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord speaks to me, and he says to me, I want you to introduce, redefine, and usher in a move of God. You know, and this is part of my covenant with God. It's what he wants me to do. It's, you know, the gift is what you are, but the call is what you do. And he told me, I want you to introduce, redefine, and usher in a move of God. And from that time forward, it's almost been like dealing with hell because, you know, when you are a gift of the body, you know, a functionary and you have a calling on your life, I have to tell you, you know, you can make it hard on yourself or you can obey God. But when you have flesh, you got to get rid of it. Go to that intimate place with God and really receive what he has.
Amen.
I've never tried to be, do, or market myself. I've been waiting on God for a long time, but I'm really like hearing in my spirit, it's time to step out and do what I've called you to do.
Amen.
And don't really know how to do it exactly, but I'm going to trust him. Like there you go. Downtown Tulsa.
Yeah, I like downtown.
Yeah, yeah, wait like for Tulsa. A moment like that to drop, like a taxi driver.
If you want to call and ask a scene a question or make a comment, that number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and we'll try to get you on the air. That's a lot. I appreciate what you're saying, brother. And it comes out of a very substantial walk with the Lord over. And you can always tell someone that's gained a lot of spiritual miles with Jesus. I have a personal soapbox. I have many, but I can only carry one at a time. That I'm just going to throw a comment out and have you respond. You touched on it earlier, I think. And recently, we have a little home church, and one of our members said, because I'm a big deal, my big deal is Christian unity. And so she said two Sundays ago, she said, well, all right, I hear you talking about Christian unity, but what does it look like? Well, that got me to sit down and start, you know, writing out a little treatise on Christian unity. But one thing leads to another. So, and I want to unpack all of that. But the thing I'd like to throw out at you for your response is, what is your, when I use the phrase Christian unity, what comes to your mind and your heart? Because we don't really have what God wants us to have today in terms of Christian unity. What we do see, and most recent survey I did, the research I've done, there's between 45 and 47,000 Christian denominations in the world today. Of that, about 430 are the Catholic Church, and those churches in communion with Rome. The rest are Protestant churches. Just that reality alone does not say Christianity is united, because denominations form because you're not doing it the way I want it done. Basically, it's the mission work of disaffection. It's obviously not entirely in depth the issue, but so let me just say, what's your thought about Christian unity, where we are and where we need to go?
There's a verse in the book of Psalm 119 that says, to all perfection of our human endeavors, there is an end. But the word of the Lord is eternal, unfailing, unchanging, and uncompromising. So I really believe, you know, it begins with the word of God. You know, you got to get the word of God in you. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Same was from the beginning, all things were made by him. Down to verse 14, he came to his own received them not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. And, you know, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody,
right?
But if we're going to have unity, we have to be mature. We have to grow up in Christ all things, not being children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to cheat and deceive you. And again, there's a big difference between what religion is and what people that grow up in Christ, that know the hope of his calling, his glorious inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power that works in us according to the working of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So, you know, I think unity really comes when people get real revelation of the word from the standpoint of positional truth, because the position of truth is in Christ. Amen. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And when you can say that, there's the air mark, you know? There's the mark for moving into what God wants for us as far as unity is really concerned.
Amen.
There's a big difference between positional truth and absolute truth, though. Christ is absolute truth. And the positional truth is man's opinion. If I'm following you correctly.
I really say that from the standpoint of, let's say it like this. Morality can never produce spirituality, but spirituality can produce morality.
That's morality.
Good. Amen.
That's good. I've
got a very simple way of putting this. God gave us the word to tell us who he is. We invented religion to tell him who he is.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened. This didn't start with just Christianity. In preaching yesterday on the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, do you know who the Samaritans are? Most people don't even know. But they were Jews that broke away because
and they mixed.
They worshiped somewhere else. They thought Moses was the only prophet. And many people in Christianity don't understand that.
Yeah.
That started way back then, this division.
Yeah.
This division of opinions, if you will.
Mm-hmm. It's our flesh that gets involved.
Exactly.
We start a new church. We start a new denomination because something offended me.
Yeah.
Scene, can you give us your opinion? Where are we with the church? What is the state of the church? Do you see it as the big church?
Mm.
Can you give us your opinion on that? He's looking at me like, that's a loaded question. But I'm just wondering, what do you think of the big church and the state of our church right now?
That's a loaded question.
I'm sorry.
Because, you know, church, ecclesia, those who were called out.
Yeah, the ecclesia, yeah.
You know, not the building, but the body.
Amen.
And it's a whole different mentality when we have understanding of who the body really is. You know, it is a universal church. But I can't help but thinking how we have to really, you know, get our minds renewed to the Word of God and really know He came in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He was 100% God. He was 100% man. You know, Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3 there, it says he's the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know, this is a world without end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, 2 Timothy there in chapter 3, he says, great is the mystery of godliness. And before he said that, he said, this is without controversy. Mm-hmm. This is the truth. Great is the mystery of godliness that, you know, God was manifest in the flesh. He was seen of angels. He was justified in spirit, preached to the Gentiles, and he was received up into glory. That's our Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. Big difference. So the universal church has to get a universal mentality about Christ who came and died. You know, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You know, whether you look backwards at the cross, before the cross, or after the cross, he never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And that may be a restoration of the original revelation to that creates the church. On the day of Pentecost, the church is born, right? Because of the Holy Spirit given to the church. Jesus promised it. But on that day, the Spirit came upon the disciples, and everything changed. They became the church. They became fearless. They went out into the streets. They were hiding from the Jews. The Jewish leaders up until then, and the Romans for that matter. But all that changed, and they went out and did what Jesus called them to do. They lived out the Great Commission that we see in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. But over time, we have, and because, this is my opinion, I'll share it, because people get in the way of revelation, and our opinions become more important to us than the profound revelation that God's given to his church as to how we should conduct ourselves, then we begin judging others based on our opinion and our little T traditions. And that's where fracturing occurs on those, where the lines that are drawn within the churches. They begin to say, well, you know, we begin to look at the differences and not the commonalities. But here's the thing. If we are, when we are finally united, and God's going to make this happen, this is his plan. And Jesus prayed for us in John 10. We see him praying for his disciples that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. Okay. That's a deep spiritual relationship that is not going to be influenced by the differing opinions that have created denominations. Because denominational Christianity exists because of the differences that we have with others in the body of Christ. And not to disparage what's important to you and your denomination. But if the essential revelation that God's given the church as to the message we have and how we conduct ourselves in the sharing of that message, if that's secondary to individual human opinions about stuff, then we have that's called into question, and I think we ought to pray about that. That's what I think where God's heading, and that's been on my heart for decades.
What did the Lord say in John 17? Give them the same glory. Give them the same glory.
Yep. Amen. And God's going to do it. You know, he wants us to participate.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that means bringing up the issue for people to chew on.
Yep.
And sometimes those issues that God gives us to chew on are a little chewy, a little hard. But that's okay. Well, I don't want to move. I kind of diverted us.
Yeah,
here.
What else is the Lord showing us?
We have about a little less than 10 minutes so before we have to go. What's on your heart?
In every generation, there are always remnant-minded people.
Yes.
People that think a different way.
Yes.
They believe truth.
Yes.
They learn how to receive truth. Mm-hmm. Paul the Apostle says in Ephesians chapter 3, whereby when you read, you may understand my mystery in the knowledge of Christ that was not revealed in times past, but is now being made known.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really being made known is that the church is universal. But when he says, whereby when you read, you may understand my mystery. Mm-hmm. I looked that word up years ago. It's the Greek word mysterion. And when you understand what a mysterion is, it changes your whole perspective on the way you see things, because the mystery is given by revelation, but mystery means outside of the realm of unassisted natural apprehension is a place all in and of itself where only the Spirit of God can reveal these things and give you the transforming power to believe what you really believe. But ask most people what they believe, and they say, I don't know. You know, and I'm okay with the old saying, do something lest you do nothing, but do something that, you know, sit and wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Listen to what he's really telling you.
Yes,
take the time. Yes. Do the Selah, like from the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
I think there's 71 Selahs. Yep. In other words, don't pass over the supernatural. One day I'm reading the book of Acts, you know, and Luke was the only Gentile who wrote scripture. He followed Paul. He got saved in Paul's ministry. He was a witch doctor. He was not a physician taking care of people. Wasn't a D.O. He was a witch doctor. That's what he was.
That's the first I heard of that.
And he got saved under Paul's ministry. But when he opens up the book of Acts, he says, Dear Theophilus, you know, lover of God, I'm writing to you to talk to you about everything that Jesus did and everything he taught. And one day I just stopped right there. I had a Selah moment. And somehow on the inside I just heard the words, what did Jesus do and what did Jesus teach? Everything he taught was by revelation of who he really was and is and is always going to be. And he's a sovereign God. And what did he do? And my mind went right to Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those that were sick, afflicted, and oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And as he is, so are we. We're called by his glory and virtue to be just like Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. And to walk in that, to see the miracles, the supernatural strength through us. We have a lot of the church who doesn't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or, you know, just get into that. It's true.
Yep.
And then you walk in a form of godliness, but you deny its power. That's a lot of the church. And I'm just saying that because it's true. And I believe in these times, the churches that are not walking in that power you're going to see the fruit of, you know, I'm just being honest. I know that's hard to say, but it is true.
There are cyclonic cycles and seasons and times of God. You know, to everything under the sun, there's a time, a season, and its purpose.
Yeah.
There are specific things that we are to be prepared to manifest. And in our time and in our season to manifest what God has called us to, it requires a lot of us. But the point being that if you get the knowledge, then you can use the wisdom to apply it. And if you start to apply the truth that's revealed to you, with who you are and what you're called to do, then it's by supernatural understanding that comes through a transformed mind that allows for us to begin to assimilate that plan, that word, that revelation that God gives you. Yep. There's nothing that you can't do as long as you just hear from Him and begin to obey that word, because that's what's going to change everything when we obey the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
And that's something we need to count on, because it's people would, and many people I've talked to would say, well, yeah, I can hear from the word of the Lord, but then what do I do? It's like someone brings you the plans to build a space shuttle, but you don't have any aeronautical engineering behind it. It's like, that's how some people feel when you talk to them first about following the Lord, doing what he said. And then the scriptures also tell us that we're not just going to get guidance. We're going to get grace to do what he's calling us to do. Mm-hmm. He will tell us. He will guide us. You know, so you can not worry. Okay, you shouldn't worry. You know, he's going to make sure you do what he's calling you to do in the way in which he wants you to do
it. Right.
So you don't have to build the space shuttle, you know, because you don't have to be an aeronautical engineer. All you have to be is a believer who listens and trusts, and God will do it through you.
And we need the return of the fear of the Lord in the church.
We do.
The return of the fear of the Lord and the fear of man is holding many of us back because we worry about what that person thinks of us.
Absolutely.
The fear of the Lord. I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
No.
He was just to go to the mic and then I just started talking, so I apologize. Go ahead, Steve.
The fear of the Lord is like having the right kind of fuel, because if you're going to build that rocket and that spaceship, if you want to get out of this atmosphere, you can't do it with gasoline. You have do it with the right fuel.
Right fuel.
And that fear of the Lord is what's so neat. 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So he says, in the flesh and in the spirit, there's sins of the flesh. Yeah. But what is it that we really need to be cleansed from in the spirit? Mm-hmm. False doctrine, error.
Yes.
Yes.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen. Yes. And that's wisdom.
Yep. We're almost out of time, and before we go, I have to tell our listeners, just to remind you that next Monday and the following Monday, we will not be on the air.
That's right.
Here, this program, because we're doing our live prayer and share fundraiser starting March 16th, Monday, at 7 a.m. in the morning. And every weekday that week and every weekday the following week, we're going to be inviting you listeners to be prayerful about providing resources for us for the next 6 months, since our spring prayer and share. And so we will... A lot of programs will be preempted so that we can come live to you. And prayer shares its own character. So, you know, it'll be kind of interesting, exciting. It'll be fun. And as time goes on, you'll want to tune in, just because the staff gets kind of slap happy because we lose sleep and we have a very intense time. And we say interesting things that we wouldn't say in the very beginning. So it's all good. But if that alone doesn't bring you to the radio whenever you can, I don't know what will. Sean, I want to thank you for being with us. I really appreciate your sharing from your heart. I love hearing your story of your journey with the Lord, how he's touched you and gifted you, and how you've touched the lives of other people. You certainly touched our lives today. Mm-hmm. And as I said to you before we started, many listeners, their lives are going to change because of how God spoke through you today. And I'm grateful. I'd like to have you back sometime.
Thank you so much. And it's always so great to be with family.
Amen.
Love you all.
We are.
Amen.
I love my church family.
Amen.
In some ways better than some of my blood can.
Absolutely.
But I won't go into detail
Absolutely.
About that. Anyway, yeah. It's time to go. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks. But before that, tune in and listen to what we're going to be saying to you about how God is blessing this ministry. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front lines.